Hello, and welcome to USSOcast, the podcast brought to you by US Studies Online, a network for postgraduates and early career researchers in the UK whose work focuses on the United States of America. I'm your host, Sam Thozer, co-communications and outreach editor at USSO. I'm very excited to be speaking today with my guest, Philip McGowan, a professor of American literature at Queen's University Belfast. Over the past 25 years or so, his academic research, teaching, and publications have focused on 20th century American fiction and poetry, with particular emphasis on F. Scott Fitzgerald and mid-century American poets, including Anne Sexton, Elizabeth Bishop, and John Berryman. And much as I wish we had time to discuss the Dream Songs or Tender as the Night or any of 100 other literary things, that will have to wait, because Philip has also served as the president of the European Association of American Studies, known as EAAS, since 2016. And his time in that role will be the focus of our interview today. So, hello, Philip. It's lovely to meet you.
Hi, Sam. Good to meet you too.
So, first of all, I'd love to know just a little bit more about how you came to your role with the EAAS. I know you have a history with international education, beginning at Goldsmiths, where you first worked in London, and continuing at Queen's. So, I'm guessing that that's held you in good stead. Could you tell us a little bit more about your background and how you came to be the president of the European Association of American Studies?
Yeah, I can. So I guess it all started by me doing a PhD in Trinity College in Dublin in the early 90s. And I did a kind of wide-ranging literary, cultural, historically situated PhD on alcohol dependency in American writing and American culture. That led me to my first academic job, which was in Goldsmiths. In the University of London. And that also meant that I moved from being in the Irish Association for American Studies, where I gave my first conference presentation to a very small audience. I think it was more of us on the panel than in the room, to joining the British Association for American Studies. I kept the Irish Association membership going, of course, because you would, just in case I ever nipped back to this island, which I then did in 2005 when I came to Queen's. And one of the first things I did was to organize a conference for the Irish Association for American Studies in Queens, and then got myself onto the committee of that organization, and then became the chair of the Irish Association in 2011. And in conversation with Martin Halliwell, who was the chair of BAS at the time, we tried to do some collaborative work between the Irish and British associations because, these two islands are quite closely connected, and there's a lot of traffic and transit between academics between Ireland and the UK. So we thought there might be ways that we could collaborate, and we put in place a few measures in terms of bursaries for students to move back and forward and postgraduate students to network basically, and to make connections. I then, as Irish Association chair, I also became the representative for the Irish Association to the European Association Board. So, for those who aren't familiar with the European Association, it is a large organization of about 22, 23 constituent members taken from across not just the European Union, the UK, but also there are member associations, believe it or not, in Russia, in Belarus, in Turkey. In the Nordic Association, which takes in Iceland, Sweden, Denmark, etc. So, as a representative to that board, then if you are still representing your regional or national association, you are eligible for election to an officer position. There are four officer positions in the EAAS: treasurer, vice president, president, and general secretary. And it was suggested to me because the Irish Association had grown from a membership of 17, six of whom were honorary emeritus members when I took over, to over 100, that maybe I might be somebody that might consider being president. So I put myself forward for election in 2016, was elected, surprisingly enough, and have been there ever since. I was re-elected in 2000, or no, 2020, sorry, my dates seems that long. It could be 2000. I was re-elected in 2020 for another 4-year term, and it ends, it has to end this April when I step down and hopefully hand over to a better, and for the first time, I'm praying, a female president.
Well, I've no doubt that, you know, the next president will be just as effective, but it sounds like you've done a wonderful job. You mentioned there the kind of very broad church that is the European Association of American Studies. As I understand it, it's the largest association for American Studies in the world. As you say, almost 2 dozen members from across Europe. And as you say, sort of irrespective of sort of geopolitical concerns, I was thinking that must provide remarkable sort of opportunities for the exchange of ideas, sharing of approaches, blending of disciplines, practices. What do you think you found the most rewarding about that great diversity within the association?
I think learning about what are the opportunities that American studies as a field, as multiple fields, opens up to colleagues across different parts of Europe. And we mainly do that through our networks. So we have a number of networks that have been set up through the European Association for American Studies. The most significant of this is the Women's Network and the Women's Symposium that meets every 2 years. But there is a range of networks that connect scholars, whether they're interested in gender studies, whether they're interested in digital studies, digital humanities, whether they're interested in 19th century or Western studies or poetry. Depending on what your interest might be, there is usually going to be a European Association network to support that. One of the things that I have found most fascinating, I guess, is when I went to Warsaw, we were due to have a biannual conference, a biennial conference, sorry, in Warsaw in 2020, but COVID happened. But I had been over prior to that to scope things out and meet with colleagues there. And, you know, there was no Polish association before the fall of the Berlin Wall. Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things that you don't think about until you actually think about it. And you go, of course there wasn't. Why would there be? And just then seeing how, if we take the Polish Association as an example, how that has grown and expanded and has pushed, I think, a number of really important aspects of American studies research in recent years. And you know, Poland occupies a very particular position historically in Europe, and you know, now I'm afraid, obviously, with what's going on in Ukraine, Poland is the next one across that could be affected by anything that happens. And I find in the Polish Association, as well as a number of other associations, that being part of this community of Americanist scholars, dealing with questions of America and the legacies of, I suppose, America's, in some ways, soft power imperialist approach to rethinking education after World War II through Joseph Fulbright and the connections with the Austrian Association and everything that happened from 1947 before the founding of the European Association, 1954. I do think there's something about the conversations we have as scholars about America, critical, critiquing, probing. It's not all just laudatory about, oh, isn't America great? I find that is great. I find it particularly good in the countries that have come out of communism, and who are willing not just to challenge an old regime and an old order that they had been used to, but also the regimes or the identities that America perhaps exports to Europe. So those conversations, you know, they're great. Like when I was a member of the British Association, I still am, I think I am. When I was in Britain, you know, those conversations were great, and you go across England and Scotland and Wales, and you'd meet lots of colleagues who were doing really good work. A lot of it I found in Britain and Ireland was really quite literature based, literary cultural studies based. Go to Germany, it's very much political science, history. Poland is cultural studies, visual studies, cinema. So, you know, I think finding and identifying some of the varieties of American studies and how people do it so very differently in different places is really, really rewarding, and it helps. It really does help younger scholars as they think about what their career path might be.
Yeah, and I mean, I can only imagine how helpful that sort of broadening of perspective is. But I'm sure as well that there are, I don't know, with such a diverse group of constituent member associations and national associations, all this kind of thing, there must be issues or there must be challenges to being president of such an enormous association. Have there been any particular difficulties that you faced?
Have you ever been in a committee meeting, Sam, with academics? There's a start. And then try having them all speaking different languages, or there's a common language of English, obviously. But there are different ways of approaching the subjects that we call American studies across Europe, as I mentioned in the last answer. And it is true to say that some associations are quite in awe of the United States and are very careful not to appear critical, especially if they want to have support of the local embassy or the local American consul general or whatever. So I'll not name any associations because I might really annoy people. But it is quite different. I think over the further west we go, the much more critical and willing to question what the United States is about. I think that's much more prevalent, less so maybe in some of those smaller associations where it can be a bit of a surprise to go to their conferences and find out that they're actually still talking about Huckleberry Finn in a way. I think Huckleberry Finn is great and there's lots to talk about, but in a way that it's still like, here's what happens in the book, isn't that great? And you're like, well, we've moved on. It's the 21st century, I hope. So that's quite a challenge. We've had a few issues which have come up in recent years about how we would respond to certain questions about academic freedom, particularly in France. And there was have been quite a push against the teaching of American subjects potentially in French universities, and that's deemed to be partly, it's partly touched by critical race theory, it's partly touched by a question of, how do I put this politically? I suppose there's another question about the Islamification of French education, which seemed to then contrast and come complicated with studies of American identities, multiple identities. So we had to take a stand on that, and that didn't necessarily produce a unanimous consensus at the board. Equally, we do have colleagues in Belarus and Russia. We do have colleagues from the Balkans in the American Association in Southeastern Europe. So it's Croatia, it's Montenegro, it's Serbia, it's Bosnia. Putting that one together and keeping it together has not been straightforward. And one of the things that arose there was that certain people in the conversations had colleagues, family members, cousins who died in the conflict most recently around Kosovo in the 1990s. And then we again have with Ukraine and Russia at the moment, that is leading to quite a difficult set of conversations. So we, after the Russian invasion, and it is an invasion of Ukraine, we decided to put together a Scholars at Risk fund through the European Association. I didn't think that would take us 2.5 hours to tease out in one of our board meetings in Madrid, but it did. And there was quite a lot of dissent about supporting people coming from Ukraine. And quite a lot of resistance, I have to say, which surprised me. And quite a lot of really, something I'm familiar with, because I'm from Belfast in the north of Ireland or Northern Ireland or the six counties or whatever designation one might give it. So I am used to political differences and sectarian allegiances. I was surprised to see them come to the surface over Ukraine. That said, we did accept Ukraine, the Ukrainian Association for American Studies, into the European Association in Madrid in 2022. And indeed, in my speech to the general meeting, I noted that the very first session after in the afternoon of the conference was a session that had colleagues from Belarus, from Ukraine and from Russia all on it together. Some of them remotely, obviously online because they couldn't travel and still can't travel. So while there are differences of political opinion, I do think the difficulties that we see in Europe at the moment, an association like this allows for conversation, allows for dialogue, allows for a connection again with colleagues who in Belarus or in Russia are not allowed now, no longer allowed to openly say that they are teaching American literature or doing any American subjects. These have been removed from curricula. It's a hugely difficult and pressurized situation for those colleagues. So there are challenges. They won't go away in the near future, as far as I can see. But I think the consensus generally in this organization that is approaching its 70th birthday is that we're kind of a good thing, you know, even if it's not necessarily straightforward on the day.
Well, I mean, the picture you've painted there is of an extremely complex but always laudable effort to create connection where perhaps disorder might be the simplest way. So just to bring this back to our core audience of postgraduates and early career researchers in the UK. Can I ask what kind, you talked about networks specifically, but what kind of initiatives does EAAS offer that our audience at US Studies Online might be particularly interested in?
So if someone is listening to this and they're going, well, why is the European Association relevant to me? It's relevant and useful because as a member of the British Association, for example, you are automatically a member of the European Association. And yes, the European Association does levy a charge on each individual member association, and we tax you and we get some money for that. But we put that into grants. And grants, particularly for postgraduate researchers, either to come to the conference every 2 years, which you know we offer very supporting mechanisms and funds for that, or for research travel mainly to the United States. Sometimes people do travel within Europe if they want to go to a particular archive or whatever. But this is an annual set of grants that can be applied for, and up to €2,000. That's not bad if you're looking for cash. And I'm not saying that this will always be the case, but, and I know COVID has affected things, but a couple of years ago, we had 15 awards to make and we only had 14 applications, which is mental. So, you know, your chances of getting £2,000 or €2,000 was pretty high. And it still is. Like, we're still looking at, you know, if we get over the amount of applications, we get 20, then we'll probably give €1,500 each or whatever it might be. It's a very useful way of finding funding when you didn't think there was any there. You mentioned also, Sam, the networks. So there are a number of networks that young scholars could, I think, should be getting involved with, depending on their subject area. And if there isn't one there, tell us and suggest one and propose one because we will support you. We'll waive fees. We will provide food and, you know, tea, coffee, or whatever. If you're going to have a symposium somewhere that's going to bring postgraduate students particularly together, that has been a thorn, I think, in certainly in my time. I wanted to have a lot more possibilities and opportunities for students to engage, postgraduate researchers to engage across Europe. The challenge we have is that everyone on the board is not a postgraduate. They're all like full-time academics. And we can't have a postgraduate representative on the board because by the time they get up to speed, they'll have finished. And it's very hard to make those connections. So, but I think either through the journal, the European Journal of American Studies, which is amazingly edited and run by Marek Parish in Warsaw. That has three special issues every year and then an open issue every year. And that's another way of thinking, like if students have put together a symposium or a conference or whatever, a network event, and they've got papers coming out of that, and they're thinking, well, where could I publish this? we'll do it. You know, we'll publish. Like, tell us what you've done. We're really interested in special issues. Now, we are booked out now until midway 2026, so it will be after that. But still, it's good to keep it in mind because it's a good journal. It's online. It's got good visibility. We had over 1.2 million hits last year. You know, you will get known, and it is a good way of connecting with other scholars across Europe. So the networks, the grants, the journal, coming to the conferences or to the women's symposia. So this year in April, we are in Munich for the conference. Next year, 2025, in Karlstad in Sweden, will be the women's symposium. 2026, the conference will be in Bologna. 2027, the women's symposium will be in Novi Sad in Serbia. 2028, I don't know yet. We'll talk about that in Munich. But those are the main opportunities.
Well, that's very comprehensive. Could you tell us a little bit more about the conference coming up? Because it's in April, if am I correct? Less than a month.
Less than a month, yes. So we are all going to Munich, which will be a real hardship, though quite expensive, I think. But yes, we're going to America House in Europe, or in Munich, sorry, obviously in Europe. And we will be looking at the question of the American immigrant narrative revisited. That's the general broad theme. Every European Association conference every 2 years has a broad theme, but then there are more regular or less thematic panels and workshops within that. So this year we're focusing on immigrant narratives, most obviously. We are running from April the 4th and runs through to the 6th in Munich. We will have the board meetings the day before. So every time there's a European Association symposium for the Women's Network or a conference, we have a board meeting. I know that the British Association has a new member coming on the board this year, Kate Dossett, from Leeds. So, you know, it'll be her first chance to come and see the hilarity that is the European Association board and meet just, you know, a range of interesting colleagues. And the European conferences, you know, we had a big one in London in 2018, which was a joint one with BAS. That was a massive event across King's, UCL, and somewhere else that's escaping my mind, the British Library. So they are big things, you know, 400, 500, 600 people coming to them. And again, the opportunities that I've had by going to the European Association conferences and just meeting colleagues and talking about, you know, I think I presented on Salma Sharif, her first collection a few years back. And out of that, we decided what we need is a poetry network. And so we now have a poetry network, which is officially being launched in Munich. But we have ongoing monthly conversations over Zoom about poetry. We just choose a poem and sit down and have a glass of wine and talk about why we think it's great or not. So, you know, again, just the conferences, all conferences, whether they're the BAS ones, the Irish Association ones, or the European Association ones, are great opportunities to connect with people who you will be working with, hopefully, in the future, if academia is something you want to do.
That sounds like a fantastic event. Sad that I won't be there.
Oh, sorry, Tom.
Thank you, Philip, for such a wonderful conversation. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
And yourself, Sam, and good luck with your editing of this, but also of your thesis.
Thank you very much. And thank you everyone for listening. Until next month, I've been Sam Foser, and this is USSO Cast.